half of the hour. Second and final hour of the show. Thanks for being with us here. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. A lot of Nuggets talk, you know. I mean, they win two in a row against the Timberwolves. Really had to have those games. I mean, you're getting to that point where it's kind of the must-win area, must-win territory. Lieutenant Spangle texting in. If you guys want to be a part of the crew, you want to text, you want to be a Hall of Famer. Like everybody that listens, you listen once, Colfax, you're a hooligan. You're in. That's it. You're a hooligan. You get to take that around and wear it proudly. But if you text the show and you're a regular texter and you bring takes, you compete in our prizes and you really rock it, you bring it, then you're a Hall of Famer. Lieutenant Spangle, I think he's making it in. Starting to bring it, man. That's the thing. We don't just, you got to be a regular texter if you want to get into that. We have a lot of Hall of Famers, but it's hard work to get in. It's really hard work. Spangle says, how do you feel about Millsap this year? Still think it would have been smarter to trade him or to find someone to fill for him? Well, plan number one was Jeremy Grant. That was plan A. And unlike Elway, right, Conley had plan B, and plan B was Paul Millsap. You know, no, I feel good about Millsap because he was plan B. You know, that was your plan B, and Millsap still, you know, he didn't play great defense last night, but he's still one of your better defensive players. This is what's changed about the year, though, where I was ready to say goodbye to Millsap. He became a necessity because you lost, you know, you said farewell to Plumlee, and Jeremy Grant chose Detroit. So suddenly Paul Millsap became a very, very important piece to your roster. Is that ideal? Should the Nuggets have been more aggressive, you know, to have a better plan B? Probably banking too much on the Jeremy Grant thing. For all of Tim Conley's positives that we've seen over the years, and now you have, Calvin Booth in there too. I mean, all these great positives that making the right moves with personnel, that was one that got away from you. And, you know, I think Plumlee's presence is kind of missed. Offensively, no, but defensively, yeah. Yeah, Dixon says, those were must-win games with Karl Anthony Towns out. You have to take advantage of those. Yeah, I mean, kind of felt like it, right? You didn't want to start the season 1-6. Then we would be talking trouble times, right? Right now, you stop the bleeding if you're the Nuggets. You stop the bleeding. You're 3-4. You got a test tomorrow against Dallas. And you look at your losses. The two Sacramento losses are pretty tough to deal with. But Phoenix and the Clippers, yeah. Phoenix is rolling right now. They're playing outstanding basketball. And with Chris Paul in there, it's been a great addition. Tomorrow's going to be tough. Dallas is going to be a challenge. But if you can find a way to get that, get back to 500, feel better about yourself, put a string of victories together, then there you go. McLean says, whoever comes off the bench, whether it's Barton or MPJ, should have more opportunity to score. So if you're Malone, what do you do here? Like, Malone has always had these interesting conundrums when it comes to the roster. If you start Porter, then you have an inconsistent Will Barton offensively. Coming off the bench, and Monte Morris hasn't been as great as I want him to be coming off the bench just yet. You know, I need to see more from him. Campazzo might be a nice surprise. I was wondering how much he'd actually be utilized, but maybe he's going to be the real deal for the Nuggets as far as a bench player. Jermichael Green, if he can play better, but let's just say that if Barton's on the bench, okay, well, here's the negatives to that. Porter's defense is bad, so now you have your starting five unit. You have a big hole on the defensive side, but you have your scorer. Barton is inconsistent. He's been inconsistent his entire career. So nights that he brings it, sure, you're going to see some great scoring from your bench, but nights like we've seen, at least in the first four or five games, you know, unlike last night, he's inconsistent. He's bad offensively. You know, he hasn't been having those great games. So then you're really putting the pressure on Jermichael Green, Monte Morris, and Facu Campazzo to bring the points off the bench. So that's the issue there. If you flip it though, and you put Barton out on the starting five, well, you have one less guy scoring in the starting five, but you have an offensive juggernaut in Porter. Porter has proven to us, I think, that he's going to score. If you give him minutes, he's going to find a way to fall over 10 points, probably get you in the high teens, if not more so now. We started to see him pop in the 20s. So you have that, but you have your worst defensive player on your secondary unit. So while you might have great scoring coming from him, you sacrifice a lot of that on the defensive side. So it's a big conundrum, man. I don't know. You know, based on last night, you go Barton, and then you go Porter and say, hey, you got to bring it offensively, and you have to play defense. But he's not done that yet. Dixon, I have to say Millsap has played okay, and I hate him more than anybody, but once Green gets in shape, he should start eating into Millsap's minutes. Probably. Millsap, it kind of feels like, you know, you like him because he's the good, you know, he's the wily vet, can play defense. Randomly, he's going to score in the teens. Most times, he's probably going to give you 10 to 14 points. But he's not someone you're going to utilize a lot as we progress in this season. Keep in mind, this is still, they've got a new, it does have a new feel to it. I mean, Torrey Craig and Plumlee, those two guys were pretty big pieces to what you were doing the last 3 years. You know, as far as, you know, as far as Jeremy Grant, that was just last year. So Denver has kind of been on this rise for the last 3 or 4 years. Grant came in and was definitely a big piece, which helped, and a guy that helped them get over the top and get into the Western Conference Finals. I mean, he had some beautiful games in the bubble, enough to earn him a pretty nice contract from Detroit. But you're right. The idea is that Jamichael Green starts to step up, and you have this same situation as you had last year, Jeremy Grant or Paul Millsap. So, yeah, I'd like to see that side of it again. If Jamichael Green can be, you know, he had 17 points last night. If he can do that, then you're pretty damn happy with that bench guy on the bench, but you have to have another guy do it. Texter here, Faku is quickly becoming one of my favorite players. Other Nuggets could take some notes on how he plays defense and how hard he plays. Gotta love this. I mean, you don't see this a lot in the NBA. But what, you know, he's a fairly shorter guy, right? But you see him, like, he plays defense with his hands up. You know, he jumps quickly. You know, the guys are passing over his head, and he jumps quick to try to shut down those passing lanes. Even if he doesn't get the steal, because most of the time you're not going to, you're making them second guess that pass, and that's what you want to do. That's why when you start to learn to play defense, and you don't see it all the time in the NBA, when you start to learn to play defense, you're always to say, put your hands up. You know, shadow their eyes, man, because you're cutting off their vision. You've got to try to make them second guess that look, because even a half second hesitation on an offensive player's side might not lead to the swift pass that they were looking for. He's 5'11", 165. Kovacs, why? That's like my size. Why don't I look as good as that? I don't understand that. no, he's fun to watch. He's a 29-year-old rookie. But that's played, you know, he had, what, 5-6 years playing in, you know, in professional leagues, just not the NBA. So we don't know a lot about the guy other than what you see on YouTube and stuff. He's a tremendous passer, but he is a really good defensive player. And you're right, Dixon just saying, hey, Nuggets could take some notes on how to play defense. Well, you also take notes on how he plays offense. Like I said, his eyes are on the Joker. When he cuts, he's looking. You know, a lot of players cut first and then look, you know, toward the ball wherever Joker's passing it. But Faku's ready for any kind of pass. And that's what Joker wants. You know, they asked, you know, media kind of asked him on, you know, what is it that's opening up so much for you as far as getting those triple doubles? And, you know, Joker being the Joker, he's like, hey, the coach is just putting me in the right spots. And I'm trying to find the open guy. I love when everybody is involved. And that's truly why Joker, to me, is the best. He loves when everybody is involved. He makes it so. But he's saying, hey, guys are moving around. And when they all expect the ball and they're active, it's going to be tough for people to guard. And so you want, and you can see the frustration. He's starting to lead more, too. You see the frustration on his face when guys don't cut. And he's looking at guys like, you got it. You have to move. You have to get there. So I love that aspect of his game. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Chris Dempsey coming up next. We'll talk to him about the positives, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly with this Nuggets team. But either way, they've won two in a row, stopped the bleeding. Can they get back to it? Can you get some consistency from some of these key players like Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Monte Morris off the bench? 15 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Absolutely getting nutty there when you look at what's going on in the news. It's difficult. It's been a weird, I keep wanting to say it's been a weird 2020 as far as staying focused. Well, it's 2021 now. Pretty scary stuff, man, no matter how you slice it. But you know, it's always good to be able to try to step aside and enjoy the sports, enjoy the entertainment that you can. And this is where I'm just really thankful we have stuff to take our mind when we get home. And Chris Dempsey on the show with us, man. Chris, I love taking a break from reality with you and talking Nuggets basketball, especially when you're looking at the news right now. My goodness.
Yeah. That's it's crazy. It's unfolding all here before our very eyes. And you're right. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff happening in the world. And, you know, I know obviously a great many people are, we're happy to get 2020 behind them, but, you know, listen, the issues are still the same. And, you know, even though we're in a new year. And so, it's sports is a good distraction for sure. And, you know, it's something that we definitely all need. And, it's in these times, and it's just, so it's good. You know, we have the Nuggets, we have the Broncos doing whatever they're doing. The Rockies will be coming up here pretty soon, and the Avalanche will be starting their season up in less than a week, right? So,
Chris, I said to be positive, man. Why do you got to bring the Rockies into this thing, man?
I mean, the new season, you know.
I was listening, I was getting inspired, and then you brought up the Broncos and then the Rockies. I mean, let's just stick with the Nuggets. Although the Nuggets got to get it right too, man. That was I hate saying must win this early in the season, but didn't you feel like those Timberwolves games were, if they weren't must-win, they were like need-to-win type games, really, really need to win?
Well, yeah, and I think for me, it was also a chance to, you know, were the Nuggets going to start putting a better brand of basketball on the court? And so were they going to be able to start solidifying some things? Because, see, I believe this. If they were to start playing, you know, adhering to more of the details, and this is like boxing out and not committing unforced errors and, you know, just these things that were costing them games. And, you know, once they started to shore that up, then the wins would come. So, you know, were the wins themselves necessary? Yeah, I mean, yes, because you don't want to fall way behind in the Western Conference. But wins without the foundation of good basketball that accompanied those wins would still be kind of empty wins. And so for me, it was, okay, can the Nuggets start to play better defensively? Can they start to cut down the mistakes? And if they do these things, then the wins will come, and then you'll be building on a little bit more of a solid foundation. So in that light, I think they were able to accomplish some of those things here in the last couple of games against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, you know, you get the victories, and then you're happy with many things that happen within those games as well. That is the combination, I think, that has mattered most to them.
Yeah, and I was talking about this earlier too, Chris. When you look at the standings, I mean, yeah, 3-4 doesn't look great, but they're only two games behind the Lakers. So, right. You know, at this stage, it's not, you don't panic yet, but you definitely want to start seeing some of those wins pick up. And really, the issues weren't losing to the Clippers or the Suns. You know, you just kind of look at those Kings games. But overall, you know, you've got to move on. You got your two victories. Let me ask you this first. Michael Porter Jr., are we expecting him to play tomorrow night versus the Mavericks?
No, I don't think so. I think he's got a few more days in the health and safety protocols, and you know, not sure. So the Nuggets go on a 3-game road trip after this, after tomorrow night's game. So I'm not super sure when we'll see him again. I mean, I don't know if he'll travel with the team or if he can't travel with the team if he's in quarantine. So you know, that's it's a really good question, but I wouldn't expect to see him tomorrow. Which would mean, you know, just another chance to get Campazzo on the court for a whole lot more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we saw 26 minutes from Campazzo last night in the win, 11 points. But two things that I noted from the broadcast, Chris. Obviously, I love his motor, his defense. But I think Hastings mentioned it. When he's cutting, he is locked on to the Joker. He is looking for him all the time. And I think that's like a good study of how to play with Nikola Jokic. Is you, when you cut, you're not looking at your defender necessarily. You're not looking at where you're going. You're looking at Joker to see when that ball's coming to you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nobody would understand a passer like a passer.
Right?
You know, so it's, you know, for Campazzo, he understands exactly what's happening and how Nikola's probably seeing the court and seeing that exact play that's happening. And so, yeah, I mean, he would get, you know, and here's the actual contrast. So I think it was the game before. It was one of these two Minnesota games. So Jermichael Green gets a rebound and kind of, you know, hands it over to Nikola Jokic and then sprints down the court. Well, he was just going to sprint to the corner, so he's not turned around looking back at the basketball. Well, Nikola heaves that bad boy down there because, in fact, Jermichael Green was behind the entire defense. And so he could have caught the ball and then just, you know, it would have been Dunk City after that. But instead he wasn't looking. Nikola's pass goes out of bounds, and it's a turnover. And versus, you know, versus Campazzo, who gets rid of the ball to Nikola and is immediately looking around to turn around because he understands really quickly that that ball could be coming right back to you in that instance. And so it's, you know that to me is, you know, that's what resonates most with me about those two guys working together on the court, is they see it the same way. And when you do, you can be, first of all, that chemistry between the two of them, you know, is there quickly, more quickly than it would be. And then part two, you're able to make some plays against some defenses that might not see some things coming. So, yeah, it was the synergy between those two is good so far. And it would not do nothing but get better. You know, as long as Campazzo continues to get the opportunity to be on the court with Joker.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Another really encouraging thing from last night, because I know the talk, we've talked a lot about Jeremy Grant and what he's doing with Detroit, but seeing what Jermichael Green did last night, getting 17 points, 6 boards, and really just moving around and playing really well, seeing that was really encouraging, and I think specifically for those fans that are still really frustrated with the whole Grant situation.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it was a fantastic game. I honestly, the last two games, I've really liked what ever since he started playing, I've liked what he's put on the court for the Nuggets. I mean, I think you're starting to be able to easily see how effective he can be. And, I mean, he is a really good three-point shooter, and he has been that way for the majority of his career. And so for the Nuggets, and then he's a good screener, too. So he screens, he gets himself wide open, and he knocks that player off the basketball. They scramble back toward the ball handler, and he's wide open at the top of the key or at the angle for threes. And he's knocking those bad boys in for the most part. And so, you know, that coupled with the rebounding, and he is a physical defender. You know, there could be, you know, we'll see. I mean, his conditioning's not there, and he was obviously really tired, but 17 points in 20 minutes is just, it's great work. I mean, you know, and for him, I think by the end of this season, we won't hear much more about, you know, missing Jeremy Grant. I just don't think that that's going to be a thing, because Jermichael Green will have ingratiated himself, you know, to that degree with the Denver fans, and the more that they see of him, and more they understand how effective he is and why he's so effective. It'll be, I think we won't hear much. we'll wish Jeremy well for sure, but we will be happy with exactly the player that we have in his stead.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned that when the Nuggets made the move, and picked Green up. I think you had talked about this, saying, "Hey, I don't." As the season progresses, you appreciate Grant, but you won't feel that you won't feel his lack of presence with this team as we progress. All right, on the other side, here's our poll question, Chris. It's just for 7 games, but is Nikola Jokic the best player in the NBA right now?
Oh, that's a good question. He's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
it. It's tough.
The numbers that he's putting up is just ridiculous. And here's the other thing. There is literally now, just watching him, there's literally nothing you can do to him on the court that he doesn't already have an answer for. And so if you are going to double-team him, then he's going to get the ball to a player that's going to hurt you with a three-point shot or maybe just a dunk. Like, you know, he's been kind of dumping those down to the dunker spot, especially with Paul Millsap kind of roaming the baseline that way. And so that's a problem for a team. So you can't really double him just, you know, without consequence. And then if you single him up, there isn't a player that can stop him. There just isn't. And, you know, I mean, no matter if the player has size or if the player is a little bit smaller, he takes advantage of all one-on-one matchups. And so it's, you know, right now, and then obviously the vision and the passing is still there, and I think the offense, tweaking some things in that offense, how they operate, is getting him from 7 assists last year to over 12 assists per game this year. And so he's just a devastating offensive player. And I believe he's the number one. I have to recheck this. But I believe he's the number one second chance point scorer in the NBA too. So if somebody else misses a shot, he's on the backboard getting the offensive rebound and putting it back in, or he's scoring himself, or he's setting up somebody for a wide open look somewhere. And that is just hard to handle for anybody. And so, I mean, you absolutely could make the case that you could make the case. I mean, the numbers prove it. The team is better when he is completely engaged and doing all those things. And then I think defensively, he's also better than what he's being given credit for. So, he has had a massive start to this season, and I don't see why it would slow down. And Brady, here's the thing that I thought was very interesting. In the first half, he was very irritated with the referees.
Yeah.
I mean, there were calls out there. I mean, he quick fouled somebody as well. The coaching staff and a couple of players had to kind of save him from getting a technical foul, another technical foul for arguing. And so we have seen in the past where those games kind of sink into games that are subpar efforts for him. But then what happened was yesterday he got better. He got over it, and he got better and better, and he scored 20 points in the fourth, and was just incredible. And so the maturity level to be able to get through some of that stuff, even if he is frustrated with the referee, with the calls, which had been in the case in the past, that was a big deal. And then obviously when he is just focused in, he's just going to be a scorer and rebound and dish out all the assists as well. And so he's just a great, great player. And the Nuggets, so lucky to be able to have him be their lead guy and really an unassuming and unselfish lead guy.
Yeah, no question about it. Huge numbers. And again, huge numbers last night. 35 points to add to that mix, 15 boards. How about Jamal Murray, Chris? We've talked a lot about him, man. And I think this guy, when he's on it, when he's playing his absolute best, I think he's one of the best players. I think he's one of the best point guards in the game. But then we see these nights still. We saw it in the bubble, kind of. But I think all of his huge nights kind of covered those up. 13 points from Jamal. So still some inconsistencies with him. And, you know, if the Nuggets really want to achieve that goal, that next step, I think Jamal Murray has to find a way to get into those inconsistent modes where he's in the 20s more often than not.
Yeah. And I thought Minnesota also basically said to themselves, that guy's not going to beat us today.
Yeah.
they tilted the defense toward Jamal Murray, and actually he still got off to the great start. I think
he
did. 2 for 2 from the field, had 9 quick points early on. And then what was happening after that, he wasn't even getting shot attempts, much less, you know, shot makes. I thought Minnesota did a better job of mixing up defensive coverages, and that kind of thing to slow him down a little bit. Thank goodness for the Nuggets. I mean, you know, Faku came in and played well. Monte, they had a number of guards. You know, Will Barton played a really good game. And so I think that kind of chipped away at, the Nuggets need to have Jamal explode again in a high point way. But, yeah, your point's well taken. I mean, even when the defense gets tough, can you still get to a number? Even if you're not shooting a very high percentage that particular game, can you still get to your average in points? And so, I think we'll find out, with him this year. I mean, one of the hurdles he had to get over was not starting a season slow in the first few games. And, so he fairly well got over that hurdle. And now it's about sustaining effort. And, for Jamal, it's, you don't have to get to 30 every single night,
Just
20 is fine. And just make sure that you continue to be a threat every single night, because the Nuggets need him to be.
I think, and I like what you're saying too, as far as the rest of this team, that with Jamichael Green, with some of Faku, we're gonna get better performances from them as we progress. Because right now we're getting blown up on the text line. People are saying, man, if Joker rolls an ankle or gets fouled out or gets two technicals, this Nuggets team could be in trouble. But I'm with you on that side of it, where it's like, all right, I get you, but at the same time, you do have some newness to this team that you're really wanting. I mean, Michael Porter Jr., when he gets back, we didn't have him necessarily fully onto the fold to begin the season last year either. So there's some newness still to work through, and a lot of teams are kind of going through that. It was only a couple months ago we were playing in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's true. And the fatigue that goes with it. I'm wondering, I think we talked about this prior to the season in terms of what the energy level of Jokic and Murray especially, right, would be at the beginning of the season. And I think what I said was, I think we'll know more months into the season, because adrenaline and excitement and all these things take over at the beginning of a season, or you really want to prove that what you did in the bubble was legit. So you're going to come out with this high energy level at the beginning of a season. But, let's just, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks into a season, when things start to get monotonous, when the normal fatigue within a season would come, are you now extra run down because of what you, going all the way back to the heavy minutes in a bubble? And that's where I think we'll still see with those players. And that's where you're going to need guys like Michael Porter Jr. There's the real young legs, the guys who might not have been playing that heavy minutes, and, can they pick up the slack? Will Barton, even. I mean, he didn't play any games in the bubble. So, can he? He remarked after last night's game that he's starting to feel better. He's starting to get his legs under him. That's going to be very important for the Nuggets to have him in that space, because there's going to be nights where Nikola and or Jamal Murray just don't have it. I mean, their legs just aren't there that night. And so who do you have that can help, pick up the slack in those instances? And so Michael Porter and Will Barton and Gary Harris, if he can get his 3-point shot mojo rolling again,
right.
And, those are players, and obviously Campazzo has been really good, Jermichael. So they have a number of guys. Paul Millsap had a good, great start in the first couple of games as well. So the individuals are there, just how they're deployed over the course of the season we'll see.
A couple of big tests coming up for Denver, Dallas, of course, tomorrow night, then Philadelphia on Saturday, an afternoon game, 1 o'clock there. Chris, looking forward to your guys' coverage as always, and always appreciate your insight here on the program.
Yeah, good to be back, and it's going to get real for the Nuggets here pretty soon. The home games will be over. And it's time to hit the road in the real way.
Yeah, some tough tests too, as you look even further out. Brooklyn, Golden State, Utah. I mean, we'll see. Will this team start buckling down here? Some big battles coming up. Chris, Happy New Year, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you.
All right, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. 37 minutes after the hour. Colfax, when we come back here, I want to get into the NFL weekend. We'll start talking about the playoffs. Cleveland Browns get some bad news. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is
Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
43 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's kind of, I got to be honest, Colfax, it's kind of hard to just jump right into the whole sports talk thing here with what's happening and what's going on. I mean, 2021 is absolutely nuts going on with what's happening at the Capitol. Here's what we ask, right? You got to be consistent on your views, too, on this, on both sides of this. So if you're one of those people that thought, okay, these protests, what's going on in the summer, that's disgusting, that's awful, then you should be the same way for this. And vice versa. If you're one of those people that was like, oh, it's fine, if break-ins need to happen, whatever, then you should probably be okay with this, too. Bottom line, this is not okay with what's happening right now. This is disgusting. The disrespect that's happened, I don't care if you want to call it protest, riots, whatever, that's happened since freaking, what, April? I'm lumping them all together. You want to go, some people are going with, oh, it's all just Trump supporters, it's all this and this and this. And then if you're going back to the summer, well, it's all Biden supporters. I don't really care. I don't care who you support. Stop looting businesses. Stop destroying the not destroying, because I don't know that that's happening right now, but they are hanging all over the ledges and taking selfies inside of the Capitol. Both sides, I don't care who you support. This is not right. None of it has been since April, when everything happened. Your protests that turn into riots, and those of you saying, okay, this is protests, but when they're looting, they're still, okay, well, we got to do what it takes to get people woke up here. No, it's all jacked up. And it's making my stomach turn watching the footage going on at the Capitol. And so, no, I'm being consistent, because it's been madness all year. I do support a right to protest. If they were just hanging out there, but they're storming in. They're inside the Capitol. And so that's the same way I looked at it this year. Am I a protester? No, I've never been on a protest in my entire life. I do not have any immediate plans to at this stage. Can I say this, Colfax? I do feel like it's the people, we're working. You're working. I'm working. I know we all have strong views politically, but we're working. It's the extremes on both sides, or whatever you want to do, that are out doing this stuff. And I agree with you, Colfax. The media has manipulated several situations, too. I know we're the media, but we're local media. You look at more like the national media with agendas. We're sports. My only agenda is that John Elway should tough it out one more year. It's pretty harmless. It's madness, you know, and I'm watching the clips here, and it's on Twitter. It's all over the place. It's turning my stomach. And it's getting worse, it seems like, as the day progresses here. You see different views all over. I have a lot of friends on all sides of the spectrum here. And, you know, some are saying, oh, well, look at this. If this were this situation, if these were the protesters happening in the summer, and it was going on here at the Capitol, they'd be shot already. Listen, there was a lot of looting going on this year, and I don't remember a lot of people being shot down. I know that one guy that wasn't police enforcement went and brought a gun and ended up shooting people. So, again, this whole situation on both sides of it. You're right now you're tweeting, oh, it's, you guys are talking about coming together. This is supposed to be a day to come together. Be consistent, and that's where it starts on both. Boy, it's a tough deal. First Advantage text line. We're going to take a break. Let's regather our thoughts here. We'll wrap up the show with closing thoughts. What's on the tube tonight? Not a big night locally, but tomorrow night, it's going to be packed, man. You're going to have all four of the basketball teams we talk about religiously on this program playing, so you're going to get your choice. 47 after the hour. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now the Browns are going to have to try to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend in the playoffs without their head coach, Kevin Stefanski. Did test positive for COVID-19. So he's going to be out. He says his team is full speed ahead, though, after the latest round of COVID-19 testing produced no new positive results. He said they just got to put a plan together, go find a way to win. He tested positive yesterday for COVID-19 and will be unavailable for Sunday's playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I kind of feel like the Steelers get it together here anyway, but that really is going to make it difficult for a guy, a coach that's responsible for really turning this team around. So will they have a win-win for the Gipper type mentality? Or, again, Pittsburgh, let's not forget, they're a 12-4 team. You know, we started to see the cracks the last 4 or 5 weeks with this football team. But, you know, they played the Browns and no Big Ben. So, I like Pittsburgh in this one. Looking at the rest of the AFC, I'm going to get all my picks out on social media. We'll put them together. But I'm excited for this weekend. You got 3 games on Saturday. You got 3 games on Sunday. You got the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, should be a pretty damn good game. I think the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite. Steelers and the Browns, you know, that should be an entertaining game, too, with or without the Browns head coach. Steelers are only 3.5-point favorites in that game. And then, of course, my game of the week. You can always find my games of the week at thewholeshow.com, along with our poll questions and our my Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind blog that we do, and then our short videos we put together, all available at thewholeshow.com. Tennessee and Baltimore. That one, to me, that's the game. That's the one I'm really excited to see. On the NFC side of things, the Saints and the Chicago Bears. The Bears found a way. How about Trubisky, man? They found a way. He starts the season. He gets benched. He comes back. They get into the playoffs. Now it's against the Saints, and the Saints are heavy favorites here, 8.5-point favorites, to be exact. But, yeah, if you're Chicago, you know, you got in. You got to the dance. We'll see. Seattle, Los Angeles Rams, Seahawks are a 4.5-point favorite there. I mean, I think the Seahawks look pretty dangerous. They look like, I mean, I know Green Bay gets the bye on the NFC. The Chiefs get the bye on the AFC side of it. But I think Seattle looks really, really dangerous. That defense I know is suspect, but we'll see what they can do in these playoffs. Washington football team will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Tom Brady's Buccaneers won 11 games this year, found a way to get in. Patriots missed out on the playoffs. So is the debate over or is it still ongoing? Brady or Belichick? Brady got in. Belichick's sitting out. So far, Brady's got the one up there. I think Tampa Bay wins that game. And I'm going to go through my full predictions. I predicted Tampa Bay and Kansas City to be in the Super Bowl. So, hey, you can't get those right if you don't at least get to the dance. So we got them to the playoffs. We'll see. But I want to get these full picks on out there. I definitely like the Saints to take the Bears. It'll be interesting. But, yeah, the Saints are taking that easy. Seattle over the Rams. Like that a lot. I like Seattle. Seattle's taking that. Tampa Bay winning at home against the Washington football team. Gotcha there. How about in the AFC, Buffalo, Indy? I like the Indianapolis Colts story, but man, Buffalo's feeling great. They're feeling invincible. 13-3. I think the Bills got that one. Pittsburgh and the Cleveland Browns, with or without coach. I think Pittsburgh wins that game. They finally start to get it right. Tennessee, Baltimore. That's the tough one. That's the toughest one here, Colfax. I can't pick against Tennessee. I can't. I am contractually obligated to pick the Titans. However, I'd pick the Titans anyway. I like the Ravens. I hate that this matchup is the way it worked out, is these two teams got to play each other this early. But I got to go one here, and I think Tennessee's riding high. They are proving that you can be a workhorse run team and win a lot of football games. They went 11-5. You know, I love watching the Ravens, too. They're kind of an unorthodox type team doing great things. It's a shame that they're playing each other so early. So I like Tennessee there. I'll get my full picks up on social media. Challenge me. Let's see if you guys get it right. Give me your picks. Shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line. It's a 970-478-1301. I want to hear your picks. Eastside Chris, appreciate you, man. 5 minutes until the top of the hour. The Herd with Colin Cowherd's coming up next. We got the block party tonight. You know, preps action, nerd action, beer action. Nick's Snacks, Fat Guys at the Movies. It's a great block of programming starting at 4 o'clock. Good night, Northern Colorado.